The mindset that you need to have is that all of it belongs to God. And he has called me to manage it. And I must be faithful over what he has given me to manage. So you can't think that you can just do whatever you want to do and just spend however you want to spend. You know, you have to say you are in a partnership. You are in a partnership with God. And God has called you to be a manager.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of How to Flourish in God's Economy. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How to Flourish in God's Economy.
Write all your troubles. And on the other side, write all your blessings. And I guarantee you that every time that you do that, that your blessings will outnumber your troubles. Every time. Every time. I can sit down and say, man, I got bad back. I got bad shoulders. Have hard time sleeping. Right? Write that on one side of the paper. Let me go to this other side. I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't need to write anything else. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. I can stop right there. But then I go on and talk about how I have all the material blessings. I have all the spiritual blessings. You see, this side of the ledger will never outweigh the blessing side. It will never outweigh the blessing side. And so there's always reason to be thankful. Notice what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of God. It's God's will that you be thankful. If you're not a thankful person, if you find yourself doing more complaining than you do thanking, then you need to really ask the question, am I in the will of God? You know, I mean, you look in the Old Testament, God wiped folk out for complaining. He didn't play with them. He caused the earth to open up and swallow up people who complain. God is gracious to us, and he's not opening up Penn Avenue and allowing people to get swallowed up. Amen. Amen. Thank God for that. But God doesn't like us to complain. He loves it. He loves it when we express our thankfulness to him. And God looks down and he says, you know, no matter what you're going through, you know, and I think that, you know, James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, James is not saying when you have problems to, you know, run around and jump up and down and laugh and be happy. And that's not what James is saying. James is saying in the midst of diverse temptations, in the midst of trials and tribulation, still have a joyful attitude. Have a joyful spirit. Have a thankful spirit. I tell you what, you can't lose in God's economy if you have a thankful spirit. Oh, here goes one. Be generous. Be generous. See, I might have to stay on this point for a while here. Because, you know, we naturally, let's be honest, all of us, you know, if we're not careful, we're naturally stingy. We naturally, you know, the first thing that we do, right, is cover up like Adam and Eve did, right? When Adam and Eve sinned, what was the first thing they did? They tightened up, right, and they covered up. They didn't want to let anybody, they didn't want, even want to let God in. So it's sometimes it's just the natural tendency of human beings to close off. But as I said from this pulpit on many occasions, that there's more power in the open hand than there is in the closed fist. God can take our generous spirit and he can use it for his honor and glory. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others, my, will be refreshed. Oh, let that sink in. That a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. You know, we just need to be, you know, we don't need to be ridiculous and just be irresponsible in our generosity. It goes back to being wise, exercising wisdom. But we need to exercise wisdom in even in being generous. That oftentimes there are so many doors that God opens up for us to be generous. I know many occasions God has spoke to my heart. I was at a funeral several years ago. And one of the Bethany members had a loss in their family. And I just attended the funeral. I didn't have to preach. I didn't have to do anything. I just went to the funeral. And somebody saw me outside as I was leaving. And they put something in my hand, and I put it in my pocket, and when I got in my car, I said, well, let me see what this person gave. And it was a $100 bill that they gave. And the first thing that the Lord told me, God, I struggle when you tell me these things, God. The first thing that God told me was, that's not yours. He said, that wasn't for you. And I came back to the church, and one of the first persons that I saw was a person that was struggling. I just said, God told me to give this to you. And I gave it to him. And they text me or called me, I can't remember how it was, a little bit later, and said that they had to get a new pair of eyeglasses, and that was what they needed to be able to. And you know, I find that, you know, when we have a generous spirit, that God makes it up to us. Yeah. You know, as I shared, I spoke a couple weeks ago at an event. I got a very generous honorarium. And the Lord said, give it back. The Lord said, give it back. And as soon as I saw the person, and I gave it back to him. Later on that week, I received more than what the offering was for. I'm going to tell you what. You know, now again, don't try to psych God out, right? And say, well, God, I'm going to be generous so that you can bless. No, you know, it's got to originate from a spirit of genuine. It's got to originate from a spirit of, this is what I'm feeling. You know, you can't, like, again, try to psych God out and say, well, I'm going to let God think I'm generous so he can. No, then you got the wrong. See, the fact that you thought that, you got off of God's plan right there. You got off. You know one reason why we should be generous? Because God is a God of generosity. God is a God of generosity. Now, I know some of you will throw your water bottles at me for reading from the message. Now, the message, let me say this. The message is not a translation of the Bible. Eugene Peterson, it's a paraphrase. What Eugene Peterson did was He read the scripture, and then he wrote down his paraphrase. So pretty much the message is a commentary. It's not a translation. It's a commentary. And so in Psalm 145, verses 14 through 16, Eugene Peterson says this, right? So again, I'm letting you know that this is not scripture. This might be like a quote that if I was to quote Martin Luther, or if I was to quote, you know, some other great theologian, so this would be a quote like this. But I love the quote. One word I struggle with in here, but it says, God gives a hand to those who are down on their luck. So as a Christian, we don't believe in luck. So I'm saying that right there, right? So I'm getting it straight. I'm letting you know that we don't believe in luck. Give a fresh start to those who are ready to quit. All eyes are on you, expecting. You give them their meals on time. God, you are generous to a fault. You lavish your favor on all creatures. God, you are generous to a fault. That you are so generous that it almost seems like it's a fault. Yeah, I heard the story about this little girl named Mary. And it was her birthday. And as she was getting ready for school, her mom asked her what she wanted. And she told her mom what she wanted to eat for her lunch. And her mom made her special lunch for her birthday. And it was a wonderful lunch, some of her favorites. And on her way to school, she saw a homeless man who was sitting on the side of the road, and he was carrying a sign that said, "Hungry, please help." And Mary gave him her birthday dinner and went to school without a lunch. Mary was generous to a fault. She was generous to a fault. And God is generous to a fault. God gives to us. He gives to us lavishly. God is just, it says that he lavishes upon us. That God just pours his mercy and grace on us. God pours blessings on us. It says that he opens up the window and he doesn't trickle, he doesn't drop, but he pours out blessings. God is a generous God. And we should follow in God's footsteps. Be generous. The next thing, be responsible. Be responsible. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, where it's talking about the gifts, spiritual gifts, and in the midst of it, one of the things it says to a person that has the gift of giving, you know, it says to not be slothful in business. That God will not bless your slothfulness in business. If you just keep accumulating a bunch of debt, I have to be careful. Now, I know I'll get in trouble. I know I'll get in trouble. But if you just keep accumulating debt, that's being slothful in business. The Bible says that you ought to count the cost to see whether you are able to do something. And so I need to look at my finances, right, and realize that, now we teach a course here, we haven't taught it lately, but financial peace, where we teach people how to be responsible with their finances. And one of the things that helps people to be responsible is to realize what you have coming in, right? And what you got going on. I remember I was going on a trip to Philadelphia, and I had to stop by the money access machine before I got on the turnpike. And there was a person in front of me, and they put their card in, and they started beating the machine, kicking the machine, hitting the machine, and they stayed there. I was like, come on, man, I got to get on the road here. And they were there for a couple minutes, and then eventually they got frustrated and left. And this thought came to my mind. Nothing in, nothing out. Right? If you don't have anything in, you can't get anything out. And that's the same principle, you know, as far as being responsible. Don't overextend yourself. Now, again, that's why I mentioned, you know, read a good financial book, because sometimes, you know, they say that there are certain things that, you know, probably you can accumulate debt as far as like a car or a house, you know, those type things. But, you know, we need to be responsible as far as taking on debt. And again, we need to realize that if we can't cover it, then I'm in this partnership with God. And if God says that, man, look, you know, you need to, well, see, jump into another point. You need to just trust me. You need to trust me. But we don't want to hear that. We want to jump the gun. And then pay your bills. Pay your bills. Right? Don't be like the man on Hee Haw. I don't know if y'all remember Hee Haw. Some of y'all young people probably don't remember Hee Haw. It was this show, comedy show. It was in a Western setting. And I remember the one guy, they had him sitting at his table. And as he sat at his table, he was opening up the bills. And he would throw them back on the table. And he said that, you know, these people keep writing me, sending me these bills. He said that if they keep bugging me, he said, their bill's not even gonna get in the pile. It's not even gonna get in the pile for my consideration. Be responsible. Pay your bills. Y'all had I live in Monroeville, right? And I got this bill in the mail for $125. Turbo crate. And actually, the bill was for, I guess there must have been some runoff from Monroeville to Turtle Creek or some pollution or something. And Turtle Creek had to do a bunch of work to fix the runoff that was coming from Monroeville. And I got the bill, and it was $125. I said, I'm not paying. I said, man, you know, I got to pay school tax. I got to pay a real estate tax. I got to pay county tax. You know, I got to pay Monroeville tax. And now here goes another. I'm not paying this bill. I didn't pay it. And it came the next year. And it was $250. I said, I'm not paying this bill. And it came the next year. And it was $300. I said, I'm paying this bill. I said, I'm paying this bill, right? Pay your bills. You know, and if you can't, you know, contact the people. Let them know that you're having a hard time. Let them know that you're struggling. Ask them to work with you and see if, you know, something can be done. Because, see, God is not going to bless you if you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And the least you can do, like I said, is pay your bills or be responsible and let people know where you're at so that you can flourish in God's economy. I got two more and I'm done. They're quick. They're very quick. Be content. Be content. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. For he himself have said, I will never leave you or abandon you. Be content. That if God blesses me to be able to do something extra, then consider that. If that's what you can do, then go ahead and do it. But don't be like the man who those great theologians sang about. Temptation. Keeping up with the Joneses is going to make your life a mess. Leave those Joneses alone. Joneses got a new car today. Here's what you should say. Hooray for the Joneses. But instead you worry till your whole head turns gray. Worry about the Joneses. Remember, it's their car and they're the ones who have to pay. Leave those Joneses alone. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses. Be content with what you have. And if God opens up the door, if God opens up the door of blessing for you to be able to do something a little extra, or opens up the door for you to be able to get some fine thing, man, praise God for that. But be content with what you have. If you think about it, advertisements, just when you go home today, watch advertisements on TV. And every advertisement just about, especially for products, because I know there's a lot of advertisements for human rights and things like that. But advertisements for products is designed to make you what? Dissatisfied. Think about that. This whole advertising game is designed to make you dissatisfied. And so you sit there and you look at things and you say, man, I need that right there, right? A back scratcher that pours out lotion. Oh, I need that. You know, a chainsaw that cuts down 60-foot limbs. I need that right there. This whole thing is designed to make you dissatisfied. Be content and let the Lord guide you, direct you. And again, he may lead you to get that back scratcher. He may lead you to get that chainsaw, you know? But be content. Say, Lord, I'm satisfied with what I have. What you have given me, Lord, I am satisfied. And then the last thing is be obedient. Be obedient. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You flourish in God's economy by being obedient. Being obedient not only in the area of finances, but in other areas of life that God is speaking to you about. As you obey him, you know, you walk in that divine environment where, if you remember, for something to flourish, you know, it needs to be planted in the right place. It needs to be in the right environment for something to flourish. You know, I plant a garden just about every year, and I realize that garden needs three things, right? It needs sun, it needs good soil, and it needs water. That if it has those three things, it will flourish. And that if you will operate according to these beatitudes of flourishing in God's economy, that God will provide the sunshine, the rain, and he will fertilize the soil of your life, and that you will flourish. And again, you might not be rich. Again, you might have struggles, but God will allow you to flourish.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the start of a new series titled Lessons from the Song of Fools. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How to Flourish in God's Economy, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Flourish in God's Economy. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Flourish in God's Economy. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, God's Economy, is available by request. Our website.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send a financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.